It's good to be able to come together to worship God on the first day of the week. We sang When He Comes in Glory, and our whole point in being here today is to learn how to live so that when He comes, we can be with Him in that glory. That's the greatest day that stands before us, and the day that we all need to be looking toward. In our scripture reading, Hosea tells Israel to break up your fallow ground. And that's what we want to consider this morning. Years ago, America used to be an agrarian society, a society that was built around farming. Of course, we still have farmers today, but I would say that they are in the vast minority. We don't go out and personally grow our own food. And I want us to be reminded this morning of some farming figures that are found in the Word of God. We all have probably a favorite fruit or vegetable that we can name that we like. Picture in your mind that favorite fruit or vegetable that you like, and then ask yourself, how is that that you can go to the store and buy that and eat that? How did that happen? They didn't grow it. Publix or Walmart or Kroger. Somebody had to grow that. Somebody had to go out and plant a seed. And this is the time of the year when people are doing that. And I wanted us to think at this time of the year that it's the time for us to break up our fallow ground if we have that in our life. We may not. But if we have that in our life, it's the time to do that and go ahead and plant those seeds, so that the fruit of righteousness can grow in our lives. This is the time when the farmers are doing it. Over the past couple of months, they've been out plowing those fields. While we go about our activities, they're out there plowing the ground. And they're putting seeds in the ground. And you can see that even in town. You go over by the mall, there's large fields. There's different places even within the city limits where the farmers have been farming. And when you get outside of town, then you definitely see the farming agriculture of Montgomery County, Robertson County, Stewart County. We're surrounded by a lot of farmers. And this is the time of the year when they're busy. And this is the time of the year when they're breaking up those fields. My grandfather was a farmer. He enlisted in the Army in World War I, not two, one. And when he got out, he bought a farm in mid-Ohio. And my mother grew up on a farm. And he primarily planted corn and beans. Did that every year to make a living for his family and others. And she grew up around that farming life, and she knew about that. And my grandfather had a small tractor and a plow, and he would go out in the spring, and he would break up that ground and start planting seeds. The figure that is found here in Hosea chapter 10 that Levi read earlier is a figure that I want us to consider this morning as being very important. From time to time, it's important for us to consider those seeds of God's Word that may or may not be growing in our lives and ask ourselves, is it the time to get out and do that planting? And the answer is yes. Now's that time. Now's that time in your life to make sure that those seeds of God's Word are planted. But before we plant that, we have to break up that fallow ground. And that's our lesson for this morning. And the encouragement is to go out and do that. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's challenging. Sometimes we run into obstacles. The other day I was planting, I enjoy some gardening, and I was planting some squash earlier this week, and I was out there in the backyard planting those things, and I got to a section there where I'm digging to make that hole to plant that squash, and I ran into just a bunch of rocks. And it took me a long time to get all those rocks out of there. It was challenging, it was difficult, but I know that it's rewarding. It's going to be challenging to break up some ground that has gotten hard. But it's rewarding. It's worth it. And when we see that fruit growing in our lives and in the lives of our children, we say, you know, it really was worth it. When you look at the background to the book of Hosea, you find that he is a prophet of God that is prophesying primarily to Israel, some to Judah. Just a few years after Amos and just a few years before they will be taken away into God's judgment in the Assyrian captivity. The Assyrian captivity is around 722 BC. So you see there on those dates that Hosea is prophesying just a few years before they go into Assyrian captivity, and you ask yourself, did they listen to what Hosea said here in verse 12, break up your fallow ground? Did they listen to that advice? Hosea is trying to bring them back to God. And one thing he is saying here, he's using a figure that they would have been very familiar with. And that is the importance of breaking up the ground and the dirt so that the seeds can grow, the seeds of righteousness can grow. But their spiritual heart had gotten hardened. If you look at Israel's history at this time, they are wealthy. They are physically at peace. They have plenty. They have prosperity. But the problem was that had led to spiritual laxness and laziness and looseness and licentious immorality. They had gotten at ease in Zion, as Amos will say. They had gotten spiritually at ease. And they had nice homes and they had money. And their nation was prosperous, kind of like us. And God's people could go home to nice homes and money and this and that, physical things. But they had been drifting away from God spiritually. And so Hosea says, we need to break up some ground and plant some seeds. If you read the book of Hosea, you find that every aspect of life had been touched with corruption. The social and civic leaders were corrupt. The political leaders were corrupt. The religious leaders were corrupt. The prophets, the priests, the princes, and the people were all corrupt. Every aspect of society had been touched by sin. But they had their nice homes to go home to and so forth. And so God sends a prophet to try to bring them back. Judgment is on the horizon. It's just around the corner. Would you please come back to me? And Hosea uses a figure of, you've got to get out. Now's the time to get out and break up that ground. And now is the time to plant those seeds. There's going to come a time when it's too late and they won't grow. And that's why this time of the year, when you go around Montgomery County and other places, you see the farmers doing what they're doing, because now's the time you do that. You get on into June and July and August, the ground's going to be too hard. It won't grow the seeds that you want. You got to do it now. We've had the rains of the wintertime. We had a really nice rain yesterday. And I'm thinking gardening, right? And I'm thinking, wow, that is nice. That is breaking up that dirt. That is softening that dirt. That's going to make that easy to dig that next hole that I need to dig. And that's what the farmers are thinking. And we've been having those rains since March. And they're thinking, I can get out there and break up that dirt. Because this is the season, and Daniel mentioned that in his prayer about the seasons. This is the time that God gives us to do that. There's going to come a time in a couple of months when that won't work. Or it'll be a lot harder. So there's going to come a time for Israel where it's not going to work. There won't be any time left. Brethren, I'm suggesting this morning that as we are in the season of breaking up that ground and planting those seeds, that we do that spiritually. So that down the road we can see that fruit growing and be encouraged by that. In Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12, Hosea says, break up your fallow ground. We don't use that word a lot. Another version says unplowed ground or uncultivated ground. It's ground that has been laying dormant for a while. It's not dug up. It's laying there dormant and it's gotten hardened. And if you were to go out there and throw some seeds on it, you might get a few to grow, but you're not going to get much to grow because it hasn't been tilled. It hasn't been stirred up. It hasn't been plowed. The farmers around don't just go out in the spring and throw seeds on the ground. They plow that first so that the seeds can get down in that dirt. And that's what Hosea is saying, that we all want the fruit of righteousness. We want all of those great results. But he's saying you've got to get out there and do that work in order for that to happen. And the same is true spiritually speaking. We've got to get out and do that work of plowing and tilling up that ground. That's why we have a rotor tiller. That's why we have a plow. It takes some work, but it will produce great results. So just as the ground must be tilled, our hearts must be tilled. And so fallow ground is ground where it's not been cultivated. There's no seeds that have been sown. And so there's not going to be any fruit later. And you pick that nice fruit that you like or that nice vegetable that you like. You've got to understand that it came from the ground, ultimately. Somebody had to sow that seed and put that in the ground and it grows and we eat it. And that's true spiritually speaking. And so fallow ground then just simply becomes wasted ground. Ground that is out there that could be tilled and sown and a production made, but it's just out there and it's wasted. And Hosea is saying, we don't want our hearts and our lives just simply to be wasted. Till that up and get those seeds planted during the time when it will grow. So this morning I want us to consider that just as this ground must be tilled before seeds can be planted, so our heart must be stirred up. It must be tilled and cultivated and plowed before the seeds of God's Word can grow. People wonder sometimes why they're not spiritually stronger. God's people wonder sometimes why they're not more faithful or more mature or spiritually stronger or more active in the church or better in their attendance or whatever the case might be. It's possible that what's happening is that seeds aren't growing because the ground has not been tilled. We've got to stir up that ground, dig up that ground of our heart, and plant those seeds, and they will grow. You know, this advice that is given here, if you'll turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 4, about 100 years later or so, the southern kingdom of Judah goes into captivity, and God sent Jeremiah with the exact same advice. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 4. When I read this twice in the Word of God, it lets me know, hey, this is an important lesson that we need to be considering. Not once, but twice is this advice given. For thus says Jehovah to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to Jehovah and take away the foreskins of your heart, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my wrath go forth like fire and burn so that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Break up your fallow ground. Same advice. So let's look at that this morning. Now is the time. Physically speaking, this is the time when farmers are breaking up the ground and planting. And spiritually speaking, brethren, today, Sunday, April the 25th, today is the day to break up that ground. If we need to in our lives. One thing we may need to do is we may need to uproot the weeds of any false doctrine or error that may be planted in our minds. That happens from time to time. the seed of God's Word can't grow because there's all this other out there. And the farmer goes out in the spring and he has his field and there's been some weeds growing there since the last fall and he wants to get those out of there. And from time to time there are things that go on in life where we're introduced to various doctrines and ideas and philosophies and our young people are bombarded by that all the time. And they start getting planted in our minds and in our hearts. And we talked about this in class this morning where we have to have the light of truth to be illuminated to truth and not grope around in the ignorance of darkness. Jesus uses this figure in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 13 where he talks about religious individuals who have planted things. And they weren't planted by God. Every plant, Jesus is using a figure, a physical illustration of a spiritual situation. Every plant, he's talking about the scribes and Pharisees and their religious traditions. That was not planted by God. Every plant which my heavenly Father planted not shall be rooted up. We might have to root up some things in our life that are not supposed to be there. And that's one thing that plowing does. It goes through the field and gets up all the weeds. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24. We're familiar with the parable of the tares, the weeds. And the devil simply wants to come along and plant that in our lives. And we've got to understand that while we're trying to plant the seeds of righteousness, he's walking along right after us planting weeds. And we've got to uproot that. Matthew 13:24, another parable spake he before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares also among the wheat and went away. Look at verse 37. When asked to explain the parable, Jesus said, he that sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world, and the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy that sowed them is the devil. And there's going to be that. There's going to be error and false doctrine. And we've got to know the truth of God's Word and get rid of that out of our lives. When we use the plow of God's Word, we're going to be getting up those weeds that don't need to be there. We may need to throw some herbicide, some weed killer, on any sin or attitude and get that out of our life. Turn with me to James chapter 1 and verse 21. The seeds of God's Word cannot grow in our lives if the weeds of false doctrines there or sin or sinful attitudes are there. We've got to get that up and get that out. James talks about in James chapter 1 that the Word of God can be planted in our lives. But we're going to have to get some things out first. Putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted or engrafted Word which is able to save your souls. It cannot get in you with this other stuff there. So we have to put away any filthiness or wickedness. And that's what the farmer is doing, and that's what Hosea is saying we need to do. We need to get in there and get out that which we don't want so that the seed of God's Word can grow. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Putting away, therefore, all wickedness and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes long for the spiritual milk which is without guile, that you may grow thereby unto salvation. Grow. before there can be growth, verse 1, there's got to be the putting away of these things. Again, as I said earlier, if we're wondering why we're not growing like we would like, the chances are there's something there in our lives that is hindering that. We've got to pluck that up, pull that up, put that away. And that's what plowing ground will do. Break up your fallow ground. It's an encouragement that Hosea and Jeremiah were giving to people who had gotten lazy and lax and satisfied. I'm satisfied with my current level in my life. I'm satisfied with my relationship with God. And these men are pushing them to do better. But it's going to take the plowing of that ground of the heart. Another thing we may need to do is we may need to get more seeds of righteousness planted. In the parable of the sower, the seed is the Word of God. We've got to get more Word of God in our lives. And I'm glad that you're here this morning because you're wanting to get the Word of God in your heart. But there's a lot of people whom just simply the seeds of the Word of God, they're not interested in that. A recent Barna and Pew Research report has said that church attendance in America right now is about 50%. It's dropped to an all-time low. We're not a Christian nation. I remember growing up as a kid, well, we're a Christian. We're not a Christian nation, please. I wish we were more. We are going down that slippery slope at full speed, no brakes on, to secularism and sin. And many are loving to have it so. And we are just holding on, just barely holding on the vestiges of the way things were years ago where people got up on a Sunday morning and got dressed nicely, got in the car as a married couple or a family or even single individuals. We're going to go worship God. We're down to 50%, just barely holding on. Well, what's taken place? Well, secular society, TV and phones and et cetera, et cetera. You know, all the important things of life. And so many people aren't just simply planting the seeds. And we wonder why our world is messed up. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, a passage that we're very familiar with, what we call the fruit of the Spirit. The reason our society is messed up is because people's hearts are hard. They need to be plowed up. The dirt needs to be plowed up. And some seeds of righteousness need to be planted, and it will bear fruit. And what we need today is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. That's what we need. But we're not going to have that until seeds are planted in our lives and in the lives of our children and others around us. We're not going to have those things magically. You don't have tomatoes without planting tomato seed. You don't have the fruits and vegetables that we want unless you plant something to get that. We're not going to have that magically in our nation. Love, joy, peace, long. We're not going to have that unless people start planting that in their lives. And I'm glad that you're doing that in your life, and let me encourage you to keep doing that. But maybe we can improve and plant more. And that's the encouragement this morning. What we're getting is what is mentioned back in verse 19. Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, wrath, faction, division, partying, envying, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. That's what we're getting. That's what we're getting on a regular basis. The works of the flesh. We're not getting the fruit of the Spirit. So, Hosea and Jeremiah are encouraging people to get out of that lifestyle that they're in, that they've gotten comfortable with, and plow up their heart and plant those seeds. You know, another thing we may need to do is we may need to throw some fertilizer on that which is already good. That which is already good and growing in our life, maybe we need to throw some fertilizer on it. Turn with me to a parable in Luke chapter 13, maybe that we're not as familiar with. It's a little short parable. But it's a great lesson where Jesus is teaching the importance of expecting spiritual fruit to be seen in our lives. And He wants to see that. And when He doesn't see that, we're going to be removed. And look at what we read in Luke 13 and verse 6. He spake a parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit thereon and found none. And he said unto the vine dresser, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it cumber or just take up wasted space in the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also till I dig about it. Wait a minute. Dig about it. Yeah. Dig around it. Loosen up that dirt. And then what? My version says, dung it. Manure. Fertilize it. The other day I went to Lowe's and bought a bag of cow manure. Now I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, boy, I bet that really smelled. On the bag it says, you know, new and improved, no smell. Yeah, so they got that out there now. That's good. And literally, you open it up, it doesn't smell like a barnyard. So that's good. But I bought a bag of cow manure to mix it in with the soil. It's fertilizer. The Amish know that really well. That's their fertilizer. We may need to throw some fertilizer on that which is already good and growing in our lives, but it's floundering. It's just barely hanging on there. Throw some fertilizer on it. And it'll shoot up. You throw some Miracle-Gro, you throw some fish fertilizer. Last year, went up to the co-op, bought a bottle of fish fertilizer. That stinks. Oh, it stinks. But you throw it on some tomatoes, they will go to town on that stuff. Brethren, we've got things that are going on in our lives that are good, but maybe we just need to throw some fertilizer on it. Our prayer life, our reading of God's Word, our attendance, our talking with others about the gospel, or whatever the case might be. And it'll shoot up. And not only does Jesus use the figure of fertilizer here, but He also uses the figure of pruning. Turn with me to John chapter 15. Maybe some things in our life need to be pruned. We just need to cut off some things that are a little bit of dead weight. When you prune a bush or a tree or a plant, what it does is it allows the energy that is coming through those roots to focus in on the rest of the plant and not be wasted on the dead part or the unnecessary part. So maybe some things need to be cut off. Some things that are just really not important in our life, that are taking up our time and our space and our energy. Just cut it off. And you'll find that your spiritual energy is going toward that which is good. And so in John chapter 15, Jesus says, every branch in me that bears not fruit, He takes it away. That's why it's important for us to be bearing spiritual fruit. Jesus will take us away otherwise. Every branch that bears fruit, He cleanses it that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, so neither can you except you abide in me. He cleanses it that it may bear more fruit. This is the idea of pruning. And again, all of these things are done by God's word. Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 9 and verse 10 about plowing in hope. I want us this morning to be thinking about, as we go home today, plowing in hope. Can we break up that soil of our heart and get some more seeds planted in there and plow in hope, knowing that it'll be better down the road for our lives? Our marriage will be better. Our children will be raised better. The local congregation will be better. Let's not be like Israel and Judah, who heard Hosea and said, we're not interested in that. And Judah hears Jeremiah, we're not interested in that. That's too much work. Man, that sounds like a lot of work. Digging up dirt, I don't want to do that. And so they just stumbled forward into captivity. Didn't make a change. And you might hear some of them saying, that's too much work, it's too hard. I'm satisfied, I'm good, I'm okay. And they just trudge forward. And then here comes judgment. We can do better. And that's the message for us today. To hear these things that were said many years before the time of Christ and apply them in our lives today so that we can be better. And we can plow in hope, knowing that things will be spiritually better for us if we will plant those seeds. But we first have to break up that hardened ground. We also need to be patient. Turn with me to... We'll come back to Galatians chapter 6 there. We need to be patient. Turn with me to James chapter 5 and verse 7. We need to be patient. Seeds don't grow in one day. It takes a while. They start off as seedlings and it takes a while to grow. But we have to exercise patience. But if we will start today breaking up that fallow ground, if there is any in our life, any of that wasted dirt, the dirt of our heart that could be used to be producing great things for the Lord, that area of our heart that could be broken up some more, whatever it is, affections, emotions, intelligence, feelings, whatever. If we can break that up and get some seeds growing and we can be patient, it will produce that which is good. James reminds us of that when he's talking about the suffering that individuals are going through, and Job was patient and so forth. But we find in James chapter 5 and verse 7, "Be patient therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer, the husbandman, waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient over it until it receive the early and the latter rain." You will see your children growing in a better way. You will see your marriage growing in a better way. You will see relationships that you have with others growing in a better way. But we have to do the work to break up that soil. And we have to plant those fruits of the Spirit, those seeds that go with the fruits of the Spirit. What are you sowing? Are we sowing to the flesh, Galatians 6, 7, and 8, or are we sowing to the Spirit? I hope all of us here this morning want to be sowing to the Spirit. And I know you are. And the encouragement is for us to keep doing better. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10. God will supply that seed for us. He just simply wants us to do the groundbreaking work. He's going to supply that seed. He supplies the seed of the Word of God. This context is dealing with giving. And we gave this morning our contribution, and God supplies the means by which we can give back for the needy. And He supplieth seed to the sower and bread for food. He that does that shall supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness. He's going to make that happen. He just wants us to do the groundbreaking part. And that's the encouragement for us this morning. What ground in your life or mine could use some stirring up so that we can see that fruit of righteousness growing? You know, the Hebrew writer deals with this, those Christians whose hearts had become hardened in Hebrews 3:13. And so, all of God's people, all throughout different times, there is that challenge to break up that hardened heart. Some are hardened with sin. Some are hardened with laziness. Some are hardened with worldliness. Some are hardened with just this self-satisfied, I'm fine with my level. And we've got to challenge ourselves to break that up and do better, or we will find ourselves falling away from Christ. In Hosea chapter 10, the scripture reading that we had, Hosea says, now is the time to do that. And so I want to close this morning by just simply talking about that situation. Now is the time to break up that fallow ground. If the farmers wait till June, July, August, it's not going to work. Or not as well. Now is the time that they're out there doing that. And they know that. Do you know that youth is the time when you need to break up your fallow ground, young people? Right now in your life is the time where you need to be doing that. Right now is when you're fixing those habits and those patterns and those characteristics and those personalities, that character quality. Now is when you're forming that. And you can get on the right track or you can get on the wrong track. And mom and dad's trying to help you to stay on the right track. But youth is the time to break up that fallow ground. Because those of us who are older know that each year that goes by, it's easy to just get stuck in your ways. Just get satisfied. Get hardened. And about midlife, you're pretty much set. And then that's it. Youth. Youth is the time to break up any ground and get those habits started. Not just things to stay away from. We talk about that a lot. Sinful and worldly things. But good things. Things that we need to be doing for ourselves and others. Service and other good things that we need to be doing. Now's the time to solidify that in your life. Because your heart is pliable right now. It hadn't gotten hardened. Let me encourage you to do it right now. You know, when you become a Christian and you're converted to the Lord, that is a great time to make sure that the soil of our heart is fertile and loose and the seeds are just easily planted and they grow. The Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing. That's when you're happy. You haven't gotten burnt out on the Lord, you know. You're excited. You're on fire. Your church attendance is great. You want to read your Bible. You want to get involved. But we know that when 10 years goes by or 15 or 20 years, people get cold and their love grows cold, and we have to be careful about that. So when we're converted to the Lord, that's a great time to break it up. And another good time is what Hosea and Jeremiah were trying to do. They were trying to cause some sort of a revival. They were trying to cause some sort of repentance and revival. And God's people had those moments from time to time. Hezekiah and Josiah and others were able to reform and revive God's people for a little while. And could this lesson this morning be a revival? Could it be the moment where I'm stirred to make a change? When we come and we hear lessons and we hear something that is good for us, that's the moment to dig up that fallow ground. That's the moment where that seed is actually going to get started. But when we walk away and let it grow cold, then we don't do that. Could we have a period of revival in our lives where we would allow that dirt to be broken up and those seeds to start growing? Well, I want to close this evening by going back to Hosea chapter 10. and just remind ourselves of some lessons, and then we will close. Beautiful passage of Scripture. Break up your fallow ground. That ground that is not tilled, it's not cultivated. Do it now so that those seeds of God's Word will grow. Hosea says that I want you to sow. I want you to sow these seeds of righteousness. And that tells us that there is a need for human responsibility. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap according to kindness. We have a human responsibility. God will provide us the seed. He will provide us the season in which to plant it, but we've got to get out there and put it in the ground. Let's do that this morning. He says, you have plowed wickedness and you have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies. There is a reward that is coming, brother, one day. And if we sow to the flesh, of the flesh we will reap corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, of the Spirit we will reap eternal life. There is a reward coming one way or the other. Let's be planting the right thing. Hosea says, it is time. Underscore that in your Bible. For it is time to seek Jehovah. Now's the time. You can't plant that corn and soybeans in August or July. You can't plant that when it's too hot and the ground's too hard and there's not as much rain as we have now. That's not the time to do that. It is time. Now is the time to break up that ground of our heart and be planting those seeds that we want to plant. There's an urgency about the message. And it's time to seek Jehovah. Come back. And their comfortable, rich lifestyle, there's a need for national repentance. And do we need to do any of that? And then he says, you have trusted in your way and in the multitude of your mighty men. They had misplaced priorities. They had lost sight of what it was all about, seeking and serving God. Well, the lesson is yours. Let us go out. Now is the time, literally, for physically planting, breaking up that dirt and physically planting. Now's the time to do it. April is a great time to do it. But it's also the time to spiritually break up anything that we need to, so that those seeds of God's Word will grow in our life. If we can help you to do that this morning by coming and responding to the gospel, we want to encourage you to do that. Be baptized into Christ, erring child of God that needs to come back, we would encourage you to do that. But if we can encourage you to grow and mature and do better, that's what we're here for. Let's break up our heart. God will give us those seeds, and there will be fruit down the road, and that'll be a beautiful thing. If we can help you in some way this morning, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?